sunshine, it's a ride in the rain. It takes two pedals, two wheels and a chain. Everybody, ride your bicycle. Let's get together and leave our cars home. Everybody,
and good morning. You're listening to the KBOO Bike Show here at 90.7 FM. We are on at 11 a.m. on the first Wednesday of every month. And I'm Sarah.
And I'm Beth.
And we are here in the studio with Rex Burkholder. He's a Metro counselor. And we've got Linda Ginnenthal from PDOT. And we're going to be talking about an event this summer, actually three, where the streets are going to be closed to cars, so people can come out and bike and walk and hopscotch and do all the fun stuff without having to watch out for cars. It's going to be awesome. And thank you, Linda, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, Rex.
All right. Excited about it.
And we also, last month is National Bike Month. May is when the nation does all kinds of stuff to honor bicyclists, and there's Bike to Work Day and maybe some other events, but in Portland, June, I believe, is our bike month. We go nuts for bikes here in June. If you think a lot is going on for bikes all year round in Portland, you see lots of bikes. Now you're going to be seeing more bikes. We have a two-week bike festival in Portland. It's called Pedalpalooza. And there are over 200 events in the course of 2 weeks. And there is so much going on there that it's going to be hard for us to really do justice to letting you know what is going on, but the website with the most information about it is shifttobikes.org, and that could be with a two or a two, either kind, numbers or words, either one works. And there are a couple things right off the bat that I'm going to tell you about, and then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have more announcements, and we will also have a new feature for the KBOO Bike Show, which will be a visiting guest to come in and tell us the top stories for bikes over the month. That will be Jonathan Moss, of BikePortland.org with the Bike Portland Minute, News Minute. So the kickoff dance party, big party, to begin Pedalpalooza will be on June 11th, and that's between 9 and 2 a.m., there will be cheap beer and a free party at 2181 Nikolai Street in Northwest. And at midnight, there will be a naked bike ride. So you'll be seeing bikers all over Portland throughout the month. And on the evening of turning into the 12th of June, watch out, there could be naked bikers out there. Lots of them.
How naked do you have to be to do this ride?
The motto is bare as you dare. And so comfort level. And I'll let you know that last year there was over 2,000 people on this ride.
Wow.
And quite unbelievable. Last year it was quite cold, so depending on the weather, could be more people. Also on June 11th, there is a kickoff ride for Pedalpalooza beginning at St. Francis Park. That's at 12th and Stark between, you meet at 6, decorate your bike, and then ride at 6:30. That's on June 11th. And then there's going to be much, much more going on for Pedalpalooza. We'll tell you a little bit more at the bottom of the hour. But for now, we want to get right into our topic for the day, which is Sunday Parkways, a pretty exciting thing that's happening in Portland this summer. Linda Ginnenthal from PDOT, can you tell us about what's going on?
Yeah, this is a great year after last year's big success. We had about 15,000 people last year riding along our six-mile route, and it was so big, we decided to just do it again and do it three times. So we're starting off this year on June 21st on a Sunday with a 7.5 mile route in North Portland, and it should be tons of fun. We describe it as opening streets to bicyclists and pedestrians, and less about closing streets to cars, because that's really what it's about. It's about creating linear parks, really getting people out into their community and really knitting the community together, getting people to play together. And one of the main reasons for that is the obesity epidemic, and that there are very few places where people can go and ride without having to worry about traffic. You see the kids along Sunday Parkways last year, you could just see their shoulders drop and really enjoy the day. So we are putting it together again, and it is sponsored by Kaiser Permanente and our Metro's Drive Less, Save More campaign. And OR Bikes is really stepping up this year. And the other main reason why this is going to be able to come together is because of volunteers. We need about 400 volunteers per event. So we'll be recruiting and calling and getting as many folks to help us out to make this a great, successful day as possible. We have a website where people can go and sign up at www.portlandsundayparkways.org, and both can volunteer their time and volunteer to give money. We're getting donations as well.
And last year we had one event. I understand this year there's going to be more.
There's the North event on June 21st and July 19th in Northeast Portland. And on August 16th, we're going to be in Southeast, and it's pretty exciting in Southeast. We're going to, one of the loops is Mount Tabor.
Ooh, nice.
It should be lots and lots of fun.
And what about if somebody does live in that neighborhood, do they have to stay home if they don't want to walk or if they don't want to bike? Can they take their car out?
Sure. The people who live along the route we will have volunteers, those very important volunteers, out at each of the intersections. So if you need to get out of your driveway, you can get out of your driveway and get back in. We encourage people to limit their driving during the day. It's from 9 to 4, so it is all day. But we ask people to limit their driving, and if they need to get out, we'll definitely have volunteers to escort them to the next intersection. And you can cross the parkway. So all of the streets are open. All of the transit lines are running at regular speed, and the police are working with us to make sure traffic can get from point A to point B on that day.
Linda, I had a couple of questions about volunteering. The first is a pretty simple one. Is there a minimum age for volunteers for this event?
If the parent can make sure that they're ready for it, no, we don't have a specific minimum age. There's a lot of activities that people can do, and there's beanbag tosses and all kinds of other activities that kids can participate in and also volunteer.
I was going to ask, can you give us an example of some of the different kinds of volunteering that are available for opportunities for people, the various kinds of tasks that you need 400 people per day for?
Yeah, it's with every intersection. We call our intersection superheroes. And you are deployed to a particular intersection to stop traffic with your bare hands and some barricades, of course. I mean, we're not really going to be stopping traffic with our bare hands, but it will feel that way. And we'll be giving you a bag of chalk, and you can chalk up the streets. And really what you're doing there is helping to make sure that people can get in and out of their driveways, get around what they need to do. That's the vast majority, because we've got over 100 intersections at each Sunday Parkway, and we have three shifts, so that's 300 volunteers right there. We also have volunteers in the parks who are giving out material, setting up tables and chairs, making sure that the bands and the orchestra seats are set up, and the whole nine yards.
Well, in response to your comment before about one of the benefits of a thing like Sunday Parkways, another benefit seems that in this time when so many people are, to quote the book title, bowling alone, and they're not engaging with their neighbors as much as we used to, here's a great opportunity for you to walk or to volunteer to hang out at an intersection and interact with the people who live in your neighborhood.
These are miles and miles of smiles, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I actually last year, my face hurt by the end of the day because it was so beautiful to watch thousands and thousands of participants come riding by on their bikes and walking by. We had people in wheelchairs. We just had everyone out enjoying the streets and people on stilt walks. We had tango dancing, and we'll have a lot of those same activities again this year. At each park, there'll be a special variety of activities.
All right, and I have to agree with Linda about the miles of smiles. I went out, and it was just bliss. I was looking at the others, having bliss, and it was just beautiful. And my understanding is Portland the first North American city to get onto this?
Well, the El Paso did a route earlier than we had done it, but because they had difficulty in getting a route established with their police, they had their first one was rooted up a large hill. And so their participation was really low, and I think it didn't succeed nearly as well. So I'd say we were the first successful one, but it's a little less about being the first than feeling here in Portland that we're the best. So the best is we can be in Portland. And really, every city that tries this and does this has their own special flavor. What is going to work really, really well in Portland isn't necessarily going to work in Chicago. It's not going to work necessarily in New York. Every place, their Sunday Parkways or their Ciclovia really mirrors their community.
Okay, so now we know what's going on this summer, and we're going to take a look at a little bit of the history of this movement, which, from what I understand, began in South America. And in 2004, I had the privilege of speaking to Enrique Penalosa, who was the mayor of Bogota, Colombia, from 1998 to 2001. And he tells us a lot about some other things that happened in Bogota, a lot of it because they had the Ciclovia movement to begin with. And, of course, Bogota, very, very different city than Portland, whole different economic situation, whole different kind of density situation, but an example of one of the very first Ciclovia style events, Sunday Parkway style events. And so let's catch a little bit of history with the interview with Enrique Penalosa.
In 2004, I spoke with Enrique Penalosa, the mayor of Bogota, Colombia, from 1998 to 2001. During his time in office, Mr. Penalosa focused on increasing the happiness level of Bogota's residents. In this city of 7 million, where less than 30% of citizens have access to a car, this meant restricting the use of private automobiles. Following the model of Curitiba, Brazil, Penalosa developed the Transmilenio Bus Rapid Transit System, where buses have exclusive right-of-way. He also established a connected bike path network, created over 1,000 new parks in Bogota, and transformed a central arterial into a pedestrian boulevard. Many of the changes Mr. Penalosa made were inspired by Bogota's Ciclovia, a tradition that started long before he became mayor. Thank you.
politics. One of the exciting things I think it has is that it means going into banned territory. Since you are a child, they tell you, don't go into the street, don't go into the street. So it's as if people go into an area that is something forbidden.
Mr. Peñalosa also notes that the ciclovias give people a chance to see how quickly they can get from place to place by bicycle. With the dramatic expansion of Bogota's bike path network and the development of the Transmilenio Bus Rapid Transit System, Mr. Peñalosa was then able to enact a citywide car-free day where all private automobiles are banned from the city streets on one Thursday each February.
We decided to do a car-free day, but a radical car-free day. We closed the 7 million inhabitant city during a workday, a weekday. And this was a marvelous exercise, because it integrates people, and it's very interesting how the city feels like, with less noise, very calm, people in the street. There is such an integration, and pollution goes down, of course, very much. But more than that is the social experience. It's marvelous.
He also passed a referendum that will restrict all private automobiles from using Bogota's roads during rush hour, starting in 2015. Mr. Peñalosa describes how he saw Bogota change during his term as mayor.
What is fascinating is that in an extremely short time, the people in Bogota changed completely their attitude toward their city. The city used to be a city very much, even though it sounds strong, it's true, it was very much almost hated by its own inhabitants. And in a very short period, the people began to have a sense of belonging, of even of pride and confidence in a better future.
Since leaving office in 2001, Enrique Peñalosa has worked with cities around the world, sharing strategies for decreasing reliance on private automobiles with the goal of increasing happiness levels for all.
All right, and I hope some of you were able to hear that. We did hear that some of you were not able to hear that, and very sorry about that. An awesome individual, Enrique Peñalosa, and the Ciclovía movement, which started in Bogota in 1982. So they have been closing streets for the purpose of enjoying bicycle riding and all kinds of other stuff in the streets of Bogota since 1982. And then they've also been enjoying this this style of event throughout the South and in Mexico. And we do have Rex Burkholder in the studio, who has been to Guadalajara and seen their Sunday Parkway style event, which I believe they call Ciclovía there. And Rex, can you tell us about what you saw?
Yeah, it's been really a fantastic opportunity. I've actually been in the Ciclovías in Guadalajara, Mexico City, and Lima, Peru, and as well as Quito, Ecuador. There is an international Ciclovía movement, mainly among the Spanish-speaking countries, includes Spain as well, and because of the historical connection there. But the concept, as Enrique Peñalosa was saying, is about bringing communities together through rescuing or recovering this public space for a short period of time. My opportunity to travel down there was that many of the cities aren't like Bogota, where they have a system of bicycle ways. They have a ciclovía on a Sunday, and then on Monday it's all hell breaks loose again, and it's very dangerous to travel by any other mode except the motorized mode. And so this Ciclovía movement that has been established with help with the World Health Organization and other international groups is to try to integrate bicycles into the daily traffic and daily travel. And that's why I was invited down there, was because Portland is one major American city that's actually made investments in the last 20 years to make bicycling more possible on a daily basis. And part of it is a messenger issue, is that the elite in South America all have cars, you know, and they drive everywhere. And so that the decision makers aren't necessarily people who are dependent on buses or walking or biking to get around. And so part of it is a messenger coming from a first world country, a first world city that says the bicycle is a key component of our sustainable future and our transportation system. And that's why we're doing this. And it also connects into issues of climate change and other environmental issues. But a key piece, as he pointed out, was it's about bringing people together. Guadalajara was amazing. They had 30 or so kilometers there, 150,000 people on a bad day. They kept apologizing. It was so hot, hardly anybody's out. And it wasn't biking. It wasn't a biking event like a bridge pedal, which is also a cool thing. It was a take over the streets event. People hanging out with their kids, just watching people. There was a large group of young people in the low-income area that were... I was told that they used to stand around the street corner and sell drugs, and now they stand around the street corner and show off their choppers, and because they spend their time fixing up their bikes and then showing them off to everybody going by. And I actually got to ride one. I asked the guy, and he actually said yes, and it was this beautiful machine. Not very rideable, but really beautiful. But and so that's a key there about that pride, and they very specifically connect lower-income communities with higher-income communities so that people get together. But again, their goal is to say, how do we make this a daily event as well, that riding a bicycle isn't just on the Sunday?
And do they have it every month or every week? Or?
Every week in Guadalajara. The other ones are just beginning, so it's less regular, but it's every week in Guadalajara, every Sunday.
When you were in Guadalajara, did you have a chance to talk to city officials to find out, when they established this, what was the public's initial response?
Well, it's pretty interesting because, again, it's another place like Bogota, where a small percentage of people actually own a car. People travel around by buses for the most part or walking, and the streets, though, are basically full of traffic. And so we talked to the taxi drivers, we talked to everybody, and almost everybody, even if their work was related to driving, said they were out there on Sunday with their family. And the elected officials, and actually it was a businessman there. There's a large commercial center there in the center of Guadalajara owned by a fairly wealthy man. And he was one of the big promoters of it because of his concerns about quality of life in the city and the whole issue of equity and access to the city.
And were you able to attend the Portland event last year?
I was there.
And could you give any comparisons?
Well, I think it's very similar in the sense that, and I talked to a number of people who actually never got on their bikes at that event, the people who were at the parks, neighborhood association people, and just asked them, well, how's this work in your community? And, you know, it's great for me as a bicyclist. I had a great time. Everybody else I saw on the road had a great time. And the neighborhood people, every one of 100% of them were like, this was so incredible for our neighborhood. And the fact that the community pride, that neighborhood, the people who didn't realize they had a park in that community because they get in their car and drive off to work on the main streets and on these routes, there are all these parks, and Portland is full of beautiful parks. Getting people out and experiencing that was fantastic. And even being a volunteer, I remember Scott and Ellen. Scott's juggling the whole day, and Ellen was playing her trombone at their corner. And so it's a fun event even for people who are volunteering at the event as well.
And I also saw a lot of people having a yard sale on that day and
lemonade
stands,
yeah.
And they were definitely doing a good business. Did we hear from anybody in the business community who said this has been a positive event for us?
Yeah, we were actually a little concerned about the sponsorship, or the, not so much the sponsorship, but the response from the business community, because we were convinced that this would bring more people into the community and therefore eating lunch and going to Mississippi District, and that did bear out. There, it was actually the other only major problem that we had was that the food vendors ran out of food. So it was a really very positive thing for the business community, and we've got tons of vendors now signed up, about 20 different food vendors along the route for each one of the events. So, and we go by the Fremont Business District and, again, some of the other business districts. So I think it'll be a real boon for the community. They've, now that they've seen it in action, have been very supportive. Every business association that we've gone to has been very excited about us coming.
And we're talking about Sunday Parkways. It's an event that is happening this summer, and it's mostly sponsored by PDOT. This is the organizing body, is that right?
Well, the sponsorship by Kaiser Permanente is the biggest donor for the activity, for the event, and seconded only by the City of Portland office. Bureau of Transportation. We just changed our names.
That's right. You're PBOT now.
Or PBOT, yes. And then followed by Metro, the Drive Less, Save More campaign. So it's a community activity. I mean, we've got sponsorships down to $500. We've got individuals who are contributing. It's really a community-wide event.
And Rex from Metro, can you tell us about Metro's participation or support, or how are you involved?
Well, the Drive Less, Save More campaign is kind of an umbrella campaign for many activities that we do in the way of giving people alternatives to driving, education, information, actions like going on an event like this. And a lot of it is just getting information in people's hands that there are choices out there, which a lot of people don't quite know. You've raised up in a car-based society, and you don't know that it's easy to get to the grocery store walking or biking. And so Drive Less, Save More is a regional effort that includes everything from carpooling to getting people on the bus to giving people information about riding bikes. So it's this is a key piece of it, is getting people out there on their own power. And then the goal, of course, is that the next day they go out on their own power.
And have we seen any direct people? Do you hear people say, I rode on Sunday parkways and now I'm a commuter, or any sort of feedback along those lines?
You know, I haven't heard those specific stories, but I have heard so many positive stories about it that I can't believe that isn't true.
Well, part of the Drive Less, Save More, we ask people to fill out a pledge card. And they say, I pledge to reduce my travel by car by one trip a week, and that's the goal. And we give them actually a walking guide to the metro area. And so we get these responses from people, and we write back to them, well, how did it work? And so we have seen people say, yeah, I was able to do something different than I've been doing before, and that means some way getting out of the car.
My only evidence is purely anecdotal. Full disclosure, I work at City Bikes, a bike shop in Portland, and we actually did have people come into the store the week after Sunday Parkways to inquire about fixing up a bike that had been languishing in an attic for years because they went out with their grandchild at Sunday Parkways and had a blast and decided they wanted to ride more. One father had told me that he was going to buy a pair of rollerblades so that he could do this again with his son if they ever did Sunday Parkways again. So I'm assuming that that fellow is ready and getting his skates on, even
excellent,
as we speak.
Okay, well, we are nearing the bottom of the hour. We have a new feature today. We have Jonathan Moss, who will be giving us some news, top stories for the month. That will be at 11:30 on the KBOO Bike Show. We are on 11 o'clock on the first Wednesday of every month here on KBOO 90.7 FM. We have Rex Burkholder in the studio from Metro. Do you have any final thoughts about Sunday Parkways?
Well, you know, I think, as Linda said, this is really the people having an opportunity to get out, and this is a great function for us all to contribute to in terms of creating that space for people to actually see their neighbors and friends. The biking is part of it, but it's really getting out there and seeing people and enjoying your city. And this is just to relate it back to Central and South America. This is a key piece of what they're doing, a key piece of Bogota's work, is creating that social space where everybody's equal and everybody's safe. And that's, I think, we can do the same thing here. You know, get out of your house. Turn off the TV. Stop mowing the yard. Go out and see your neighbors.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come to the studio today. And
thank you.
Rex is going to be leaving for the rest of the show, so thank you. And we do have a number of announcements. As I said, in June, Portland goes nuts for biking. And there are so many events, and I've written down a few. Beth, do you have any?
I have a few. All of these are listed at the Shift to Bikes website. That's Shift numeral 2 or Shift letter T-O to Bikes. But these are a few that caught my eye. On Tuesday, June 16th at 4 p.m. is the Benson Bubbler Bonanza. If you have seen those fountains around the city, these are the Benson Bubblers. And This is a tour of where all of those are. If you've ever been curious about those water fountains and who is this Benson guy and why was he so into public fountains, you'll get your answers. You'll get your answers to those questions on this ride. And then on Tuesday, June 23rd, one of my favorite Portland performing groups is hosting a great ride, the Sprockets, Portland's own bike dance troupe. This is Tuesday, June 23rd at 6 p.m. They'll be meeting at Alberta Park, Northeast 20th and Killingsworth. This will be a family-friendly ride to Peninsula Park, where the Sprockets will perform a teaser, a preview of their special summer show, and there will be a potluck barbecue for all to enjoy.
And on June 18th, there is an event at the Angst Gallery. This is in Vancouver, Washington. There's going to be a bike art show there for the month of June. And on June 18th, it's a chance to hang out with the good old Todd Boulanger. He is somebody who has done awesome things for biking, and he's always done a lot of things during Pedalpalooza.
And can we call him Saint Todd? Can you be a saint in your lifetime?
I don't know about that. You might be able to decide that if you went to the Joy of Sext ride, which is a tour of Portland's diverse and devout religious institutions and worship sites. That would be on June 14th at 10:30 to 1:30 p.m. Meets at Colonel Summers Park, which is at 21st and Belmont.
Belmont.
Okay. And you can get more information about that at the biketemple.org website. This is a new organization working on checking out the relationship, bikes and religion. But this event at the Angst Gallery in our neighbor city, Vancouver, is at Main Street in Vancouver, 1015 Main Street, and the gallery is open during the week, and actually not quite sure about the exact times it's open, but it's in Vancouver, and the art should be up for the month of June. A great time to check it out would be on June 18th from 6:30 to 9. Talk to Todd Boulanger, hang out with him, get his picture of what's going on in the world, and following that, he's going to take you on a tour of Vancouver's bars, low bars, with the Couve's low bars. And
wow.
I don't know what the low bars are, but I figure it's places to drink and be merry. So,
and if anyone knows the city of Vancouver, like, it's going to be Todd Boulanger.
And a couple other ones, both on June the 27th. The final party for Pedalpalooza is the Multnomah County Bike Fair. This is a take on a county bike fair event. I mean, a county fair where maybe you bring your prize sheep or your goat to show off. Here's the way to show off your bike. And there's various little rodeo-style events and vendors and all kinds of fun stuff. That is also at Colonel Summers Park, 21st and Belmont, between 2 and 7 p.m. And before you head down to the bike fair, you can join the Community Cycling Center for Bikes and Barbecue Bash. And this is sponsored by the Russell Street Barbecue. And there'll be live music, free bike repair, and a photo booth so you could take a photo of you and your bike. And Russell Street is donating all the food. Bring your own utensils, and your donations go to supporting the Community Cycling Center's programs. The event and the Community Cycling Center are located at 1700 Northeast Alberta. So there's all kinds of opportunities. Again, please look at the Shift to Bikes website for more information. So much going on. There has got to be something for everybody. And this morning we have Jonathan Moss in the studio from BikePortland.org. He's a blogger, and he is here today to give us the top news stories for the last month.
Hello, folks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, here we go. Welcome to your news roundup. I'm Jonathan Moss, publisher and editor of BikePortland.org, and here are your headlines. Bike safety on the Hawthorne Bridge deck has become an issue in recent weeks after a woman on a bike crashed onto the steel grating after she tangled with another person on a bike who was trying to pass her. Since that crash, we've received reports of at least two other crashes that happened under similar circumstances. Fortunately, no one has been seriously hurt, but the crashes have sparked a community dialogue about how to best handle bike and pedestrian traffic on the bridge. Infrastructure improvements to the Hawthorne are not currently on the table. Multnomah County, who manages the bridge, say they hope the upcoming improvements to the nearby Morrison Bridge will help alleviate some of the traffic and conflicts. Another solution that has been discussed is a need for more courtesy and civility from bikers and walkers on the bridge. If you ride that way, please slow down and use caution when passing and when crowds are present. Mountain bike advocacy continues to gain momentum in Portland. The Portland United Mountain Peddlers are now known as the Northwest Trail Alliance. The announcement was made at Pump's monthly meeting last week. The group has been based in Portland for 20-plus years, but new leadership on the board of directors decided to change their advocacy focus and completely revamp the nonprofit's brand and image. The NWTA will now look to maintain Pump's legacy, but also to broaden its membership base in part by doing more outreach into Portland and becoming an official chapter of the International Mountain Bicycling Association. One of the top issues on the table for the NWTA is opening up more access for off-road riding in Forest Park. Lawmakers in Salem passed a $960 million transportation bill last week. The bill, which has been opposed by every major environmental group in Oregon for its $840 million list of earmarks for new highway projects and for not going far enough with sustainable transportation initiatives, was touted by leadership in Salem as, quote, the greenest transportation package Oregon has ever passed, unquote. The BTA was hoping the bill would expand the dedicated allocation of state highway funds that must go to bike and pedestrian projects from its existing 1% to 1.5%, but that proposal did not make it into the final bill. The bill did establish a new urban trails fund, but so far there is no dedicated stream of revenue pegged for that fund. In other Salem news, it was a tough year overall for bike legislation. The BTA lobbied in Salem this year to pass an Idaho-style stop sign law, a new vehicular homicide law, and a law that would have bolstered drivers' education requirements. But unfortunately, none of that proposed legislation made it out of committee. Last Friday, the city of Portland officially unveiled a new public art monument that also serves as a rack for the iconic pile of minibikes used by Zoo Bombers on their weekly rides. The city put up $10,000 for the project and worked with Zoo Bomb representatives, local artists, and the Regional Arts and Culture Council to make it a reality. At the unveiling event on Friday, a ceremonial parade was held from the old pile across the street from Powell's to the new pile located at the intersection of Southwest 13th and West Burnside. Mayor Adams spoke at the event, saying, quote, Portland's bike culture is not only fun, it's absolutely necessary for the future success of this city, unquote. The city of Portland installed yet another one of its on-street bike parking corrals last week. The corrals, which replace one or two car parking spaces with up to 18 spaces for bikes, have been a big hit with business owners and their customers. The latest one was installed in front of Por Que No Taqueria on Southeast 47th and Hawthorne. This brings the total number of bike corrals in Portland to 15, and the city plans to install 30 more of them over the summer. Speaking of summer, finally here, June is upon us, and there are literally hundreds of bike events planned this month. Get ready, mark up your calendars, and enjoy the riding. Those are your bike news headlines. Thanks for listening, and for more bike news, get your daily fix at bikeportland.org.
All right, Jonathan, thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And you can expect to hear the Bike Portland News Minute here on The Bike Show. And you are listening to the KBOO Bike Show on 90.7 KBOO. We are on the 11 o'clock on the first Wednesday of every month. Today we are talking about Sunday Parkways. This is an awesome event. And in fact, this year will be three events. We have Linda Genenthal from the City of Portland. Can you tell us just one more time, just a real general for people who just tuned in, what are we looking at here?
Well, we're looking to close miles of streets and open them up for bicycling and walking and having fun. And in North Portland in June, in Northeast Portland in July, and in Southeast Portland in August. It should be quite a party.
And last year was the first year that this happened in Portland. Can you talk a little bit about how did you go about pioneering this event? Did you go out and talk to people, and how did you get the consensus among the neighbors and the community groups? Because it looked like people were with the program when you went out there. Everybody seemed to be with it. How did you get to that place?
Well, before we went out to the community, three folks went to a conference in Madison, Wisconsin, a bicycling conference, a bicycling and pedestrian conference. We were really inspired by the work that Chicago had done to begin their process of putting together a Sunday Parkways. And also we heard from Gil Peñalosa, who was the head of Parks and Recreation during much of the expansion of Ciclovias down in Bogota. And we just thought that this would be a perfect fit for Portland, and so came back very inspired and began the discussions with the neighborhood associations. And at first, there was a bit of puzzlement about what this could be and what it would mean for their neighbors and how this would logistically work and how people would get to and from their driveways and all this. So we worked very diligently with the community to talk with folks about how this would work. And people just fell in love with the idea and really embraced the knitting of a community together. Here we have in North Portland a place where there aren't very many places to ride off street and to enjoy long bike rides without traffic. So it was a perfect place to add a service of being able to ride without cars. And it was also a community that is really shifting and changing. So we want neighbors to play with neighbors. So really worked with the community to get as many participating organizations that were in that neighborhood to participate, and it worked beautifully. We really had a great time with the organizing.
Of particular note of interest to me is the fact that I volunteered at last year's event, and this was held on a Sunday in a part of town that is heavily populated by many, many houses of worship who meet on Sunday mornings. And I am wondering if in your discussions with community organizations, people expressed concerns about traffic flow to and from these many, many churches that all are in that area.
Well, we tried to make sure that our route did not interfere with many of the churches, and also communicated with them all. They're open for business on Sunday. That's their day of business, or a lot of them. So we wanted to communicate with them about how this would work for them, where there were places to park, how I don't know what you call them when they go to church, people who go to church, how they would get to the front door. And we had a pretty positive experience with them. There were obviously a few complaints, but mostly people were able to get to and from exactly where they needed to go. The police worked with us very carefully. And this year we're doubling our efforts and working with the churches and all the different communities that we're going to be serving to make sure that people can get to where they need to go. And then also just the churches are participating. We've said, come on out after services, before services, and enjoy your neighborhood. This is a great opportunity to get out and play.
And the response to that was really good?
Yes, it's been very positive. We've had a lot of really positive conversations with the churches.
And so we're talking about Sunday Parkways, and we've got a lot of information on the table from inside the studio, and now I want to invite if anybody would like to call in if you have any questions or any comments about this event. The number here at KBOO is 503-231-8187, and we welcome your call. And can you tell us the exact details about when the events are and a little bit more about who you need to help out, because it's very popular but yet takes a lot of work.
Yes, the first event is on June 21st in North Portland, and the three parks that are associated with that are Peninsula Park, Arbor Lodge Park, and Kenton Park. In fact, we're going to have a parade from Kenton Park at around 11 o'clock with Mayor Adams, which should be really a lot of fun. And to close all of those streets and make sure that people can get to where they need to go, we'll need hundreds of volunteers. So volunteers can sign up with us either online at www.portlandsundayparkways.org, or they can make a phone call to 503-823-5358. And we are hoping to have as many volunteers participating and really enjoying the project. I mean, one of the fun things that people got to do last year, we gave them a bunch of sidewalk chalk. And so people made all kinds of statements and drew and made it sort of an art project in addition to sitting on the curbs, making sure the cars could get through.
So we're talking June 21st.
June 21st from 9.
In North Portland.
June 21st in North Portland. That's from 9 to 4. All three of them are from 9 to 4. In Northeast Portland, it's on July 19th, and in Southeast Portland, it's August 16th.
Nice. And if a person did want to volunteer, do they need to come to an event beforehand to learn the ropes? How much time are the people expected to put in?
The shifts are about 3 hours, and there's a training beforehand. We want to make sure that people are prepared and feel ready to assist people with what they need. So we're having trainings on the Wednesday before each event, and the Saturday morning before each of the event, so that people can come and learn about what their tasks could be. And there's a variety of things that people can do in addition to being an intersection superhero.
And one more time, just tell us a tiny bit about what that is. What is your role as a superhero there?
As a superhero, you get to be at every at a corner, and your job is to make sure that people who live along the route can get to and from their driveways if they need to. Or for those who have found their way to the route and need to cross the route, pointing them to the next spot to cross, because there are all the major intersections are open, as is the all of the TriMet routes, and so people can get across the route. So your job is to help direct traffic a little bit and get people to where they need to go.
The superhero cape is, of course, optional.
The cape is optional, but you do get a Sunday Parkways volunteer t-shirt for signing up and coming to the event. And if you volunteer for three events, we have a special Sunday Parkways 2009 bandana that you is only available to those who volunteer for three shifts or more. So you can do that at one, two, or three events. And those who contribute $40 or more in cash or online can also get a bandana. But these are special bandanas. We aren't giving them to anyone else. Only those who volunteer three shifts or give $40 or more.
And they are super cool. They have the routes outlined. And it's a nice map of Portland with the bike routes, it looks like. And then the Sunday Parkways highlighted. So super nifty.
They are very colorful and very bright.
Quite beautiful.
Yeah.
So this year we see an expansion in Portland, not only in having the event three times, but in having extended hours. And can you tell us a little bit about what you know about what's going on in other cities? Because I know last year there was maybe four or five cities who did something like it. And I understand it's expanded a little bit.
There's a lot of cities who are thinking about it. I think that given the economic climate, several of the cities who have been entertaining it have had a hard time getting sponsorships, frankly. So it's not, while people love the idea of doing it, I think that the funding has been an issue. But San Francisco is going ahead. New York is continuing to go ahead. And there was a webinar about the New York experience, and it was really exciting what they are doing there. Talk about big, wide streets and lots of cars, and they just kind of went bananas. Miami has done Miami Days, and they've gotten their police have volunteered to work this event. So Baltimore is looking into it. Seattle has been talking about it. Eugene is looking into it. There's just places all around the country it's caught fire.
I have to say that's pretty inspiring to hear that a city like Miami that has a reputation for being very unbike friendly is getting behind something like Sunday Parkways. That's great to hear.
They are very excited about it, and they are the person who I spoke with who was organizing it said that she was overwhelmed with the ability to give back to the community something exciting and fun and just something that made so much sense.
Okay, so I want to just bring it local for just a second. When I was doing this event last year, I have a lot of friends who live on the west side of the Willamette River, and they started hearing about the fact that, oh, we're going to expand. We're going to have three dates this year. And they called me up and said, I live in Hillsdale. When is it our turn? I live in Raleigh Hills. I live in Beaverton. I live in Aloha. When's it going to be our turn? When can we do a Sunday Parkways? Any visions for the West Side in 2010?
Actually, depending on funding, we could be a bit earlier than that. We have been talking with Riverfest about working with them. They do a bike ride as part of their activities. And so after the race or the event that they do, then opening those streets that would be part half of Barber Boulevard going on Terwilliger is an option. Again, we don't have the funding this year, given that the economic climate has been so difficult. Businesses have really wanted to step up and have had to really postpone their higher amounts of giving. So if the funding can expand and we can get further sponsorships and more contributions from individuals, we will be able to look at the West Side. It is an event that can be enjoyed all over the city. It's a little bit more challenging in terms of a ride, but it is spectacularly beautiful.
And it is, and it is logistically possible in parts of the West Side.
Sure, absolutely.
That's good to hear.
And so, listeners, I did want to make sure you have the phone number in case you wanted to ask any questions of Linda Genenthal from PBOT, 503-231-8187. This is in your neighborhood. The streets will be open to pedestrians, open to bikes, and there will not be any car traffic. It seems like this is something that maybe 3 or 4 years ago would be unimaginable.
I know I've visualized it a little bit myself, thinking, what if our streets could be open? But it felt like the climate, even in the last 3 or 4 years, has shifted pretty radically to accepting things like this, where maybe 5 years ago, this was something that might not have been accepted in the same way. Can you comment on any of your observations about what you've seen just in your time working with bikes in Portland and the changes in the last few years?
Well, I have to say that one of the key reasons why this is a possibility is because of our current mayor. I mean, we really have a mayor who is very excited about bicycling and understands the power that bicycling brings to making this city really a viable, vibrant, economically really working city. And here we have an event that not only brings more, it brings more people out into the street enjoying their neighborhoods, but it also is an icon for our city to be so bicycle friendly. I was on a plane last night, and there are always these travel selling on the plane, all these magazines and the likes. And one of the things that we sell about Portland is our bicycling and how wonderful it is here for bicycling. So Sunday Parkways is an opportunity to really show off the best and the best and the biggest of our city.
Awesome. And it sounds like we have a caller. Caller, thanks for calling in.
Quick question about the funding. That what is it? What's the expenses on setting up a bike and opening up the streets? You know what I mean?
Yes.
But, you know, because you're asking for money, so it's like, well, what would be involved in it? You know. So, and my answer off the air, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there's a number of things. I mean, the vast majority of the work that gets done is on working with the community. So there's community organizing. So it's reaching out to all of the neighborhood groups, all the community organizations, the immigrant rights groups, and the likes to get individuals involved. So there's the staff time involved in that. Then there's just simple things like mailings and door hangers to everybody along the route so they're clear about what day we're going to be in their neighborhood, what we're going to be doing. Porta-potties, bike corral fencing, making sure that we have the police who can safely cross cars across the route. Tables and chairs for the event, T-shirts, and all those kinds of things. And for the first event, last year, we had a grant from the Environmental Protection Agency, and the one event cost us about $150,000. This year, we're doing three events for $200,000. So we've really scaled back the costs because we figured out how to get it done and get it done very efficiently. And my guess is that in the future, we'll be even scaling back more of the expenses because the community will have really understood what this is. So the communication to the community will be less expensive to do. So those are the kinds of things that we look at. We have hired 4 volunteer coordinators part-time through the summer so that we can organize those 400 per event folks and get them to the right intersections and recruit them. So there's a lot that's involved in sort of the day-to-day operations of putting together an event like this.
Taking an example from what happened in Bogota, I saw this wonderful video that you provide a link to from your website about how Sunday Parkways works in Bogota, and that there actually grew, they were able to grow job creation out of this, that in order for them to open up so many miles of city streets, they had uniformed guides all along the way, helping people find their way and making sure that traffic flow on foot and bike went well. And this actually became an opportunity for job creation for them. Big picture, far out vision time now. Do you see something like that happening here in the United States with Sunday Parkways?
Well, I think if we would be doing many more of these through the summer, we would really need to take a look at something like having paid folks at the intersections, because 400 volunteers, I know people really, really love doing it. And it is really fun to do, I have to say. It's a really fun project to do. I think we'd be hard-pressed to get 400 people every couple of weekends. I think that would be a little difficult. So, you know, We will be following the community lead, and the more the community asks for, the more the community is able to step up, the better we're going to be able to provide this kind of spectacular, fun activity to really incorporate activity into everyone's day-to-day lives. I mean, that's really what this is about. It's about not just introducing bicycling, but also saying this is a day-to-day activity. This is a daily thing that you can have. You can have fun every single day.
Imagine.
I know.
And if someone did want to support, either financially giving a donation or volunteer, can you give information one more time about how they can connect?
Sure. We have a donation page that has been set up for us with OR Bike, and you can get to that through our website, which is www.portlandsundayparkways.org, or you can give us a call at 503-823-5358 to volunteer, and we'd love to have you come and join us.
Nice. And this is a really big event. Do you have any visions for, do you think next year it would be bigger, or any kind of other events that are something that you would like to do? I know you've worked with bikes in the city of Portland for a long time, and here this one is almost bigger than you can believe.
Well, the thing that I've really enjoyed about organizing and working on Sunday Parkways is the partnerships that we've been able to put together, because we were a little concerned that this would be something that would compete with the likes of Bridge Pedal. But we've partnered with Bridge Pedal this year. Our Safer Routes to School program is partnering with Bridge Pedal and the Bicycle Transportation Alliance to encourage kids to learn how to do group rides. So at every Sunday Parkways, Bridge Pedal and the BTA will be training our youth to figure out how to do successful group riding. And Bridge Pedal this year is free for anybody under 15. So this is a great partnership for us. So we've had a tremendous amount of fun figuring out how all of these different bicycling and community groups can get involved. I mean, we've got the Jumping Jackie O's, who will be doing a whole bunch of jump roping. And we've got the church groups organizing their activities and getting people out to the parks. We've just got a ton of things to do, including the Sprockets. So if you can't get the Sprockets at their event this month, you can certainly come to the Sunday Parkways and get a glimpse.
And you can come out and do your favorite activity in the street. June 21st in North Portland, June 19th in Northeast, and August 16th in Southeast Portland. This is your chance to go out and ride your bicycle without having to look for cars, skateboard, rollerblade, whatever you like to do. Last year, I played Frisbee, tennis, Scrabble, hung out, ate food, watched people have a great time. Super duper fun event. And thank you so much, Linda Ginnenthal, for coming and telling us all about it.
Well, thanks for having me. I hope to see all of you there.
Yep, it's going to be good. And again, June in Portland is wild and crazy. There's going to be a lot of bikes out there. If you are driving, please look out for the bicyclists. Bicyclists, please be careful too. It's going to be fun. And check out the Shift to Bikes website for all the Pedalpalooza action that's coming up. And
I'd like to just give another plug for Sunday Parkways. If you want to volunteer, get your pen and paper and write this number down, 503-823-5358. If you want to volunteer and get involved with what's going to be probably the most fun activity the city will see this summer.
And thank you so much for tuning in to the KBOO Bike Show. We are on the first Wednesday of every month at 11 a.m. And thank you again. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Beth, and it's been a pleasure.
Right on.
And I think